Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm joined every week by the coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis. Coach, basketball, football, NASCAR, there's never a shortage of things to talk about on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Absolutely not, and I'll tell you what, if you're not listening to the Coach K and Joe Show live, or at least by podcast at some point, you're missing. Let's face it, Joe, you're missing. You're missing out on what's going on and what really is going on based on at least what we say. And we always know Coach K speaks the truth. So if you're listening, you can join into the show, literally join into the show, by calling us at 773-897-6325, tweeting us at Coach K and Joe. We're on Twitter. So get out there and text your buddies, tweet your buddies. Call them and tell them to join the show, and let's talk. We're going to be talking Purdue football or Purdue basketball in about 15 minutes. We're going to be talking IU football with Mark Deal at the top of the second hour. We're going to be talking high school football playoffs with Chris Goodman and Bill Somm, our man out of Indianapolis. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, Joe.
I'll tell you what, there's just so many things that just 2 hours isn't enough, you know. I'm making the schedule up, and I'm like trying to squeeze everything in because, you know, the Coach K and the Coach K mailbag is getting very popular, and you know, the questions keep popping up for that, and you know, you still have time to ask a question if you want. You know, text your question to 812-630-2449. Again, that's 812-630-2449, and we'll put you on the list for the coach.
Yeah, and you can that'll text will come into the show. You can go to our Facebook page, and you can also text if you want to text Coach K directly, and be nice, because remember it's our show. you can also text 812-480. That's 480-9449. Joe, coming up for me next week, besides Thanksgiving and a lot of turkey and all that stuff, I am doing what every man should do at some point, at least once, and it's not go watch a hoops game, although that's right up there. I'm getting a colonoscopy, preventative. Hopefully it's just preventative, but that will be on Tuesday, Joe, and I encourage any male out there, they say get it by age 50. If you want to do it before that, do it. There's no reason not to get a colonoscopy. It's great preventative medicine, and you've got families and friends and the Coach K and Joe Show that want you around for a long time, and I'll be doing that on Tuesday, Joe.
I've been told that I'm on schedule for one at the beginning of the year, so hopefully it's not on a Friday. I would have to broadcast live from the table.
Boy, wouldn't that be something. But, yeah, that's coming up on Tuesday. And then, of course, we've got Thanksgiving coming up next week. Quickly, and with sincerity, we want to wish the very best to the people who endured the tornado this past weekend. You know, Washington, Indiana, Washington, Illinois, parts of Kentucky, our listeners up in the Kokomo area, north of Indianapolis, at least proper, all those areas, a huge outbreak of tornadoes. I was actually in Lagodi while the tornado was coming through Washington, Indiana, and I was sitting at the Los Bravos restaurant. We were, my son Josh, who is teaching at Bar Eve, is moving in with another teacher in an apartment in Lagodi so he can be closer to school, and we're sitting there, and the guy comes out, and in his best English tells us that a tornado's headed this way, and we said, well, where should we go? And he said, this is all we've got. So we prayed a little bit, ate our lunch, got back to Josh's new apartment, and fortunately for us, it passed north of us. But for our friends in Washington, and of course, Joe, as some of our listeners may remember, I coached at Washington Catholic High School for 5 years and have still have friends in Washington. And the tornado actually went down Sycamore Street on the west side of town, which was where Janet and I lived for a year while we were in Washington. And so we wished the best. I know there was a lot of help from the area. People from Jasper, Vincennes, different places came over and helped are helping the people in Washington. But it's going to take a little time to recover. We're just thankful no one was seriously injured.
Now, did you see the video from the radio station over there, Dave Crook's owns?
Yeah, minus some of the language, but who knows what I would have been saying at the same time. It was phenomenal that they videotaped that. It was all over the Internet, and it was really, I mean, very fortunate that it didn't hit them even worse than what it did. But great, yeah, that's video that you need to watch if you haven't seen that. You can find that on the Internet.
And, yeah, it's, you know, the radio got people, they have to stay there and, you know, they have to look out for the rest of the community. And, you know, you always wonder what happens if it hits the radio station. And, you know, thank God that they ended up okay, you know, a little damage to the building.
Absolutely.
And nothing can be replaced, so.
Yeah, and, you know, one of the important things was in the video, I thought, was they were talking about how they're going to get back on the air, you know, to keep people informed of what was going on. And I thought that was great that they were focused in that way. Speaking of Washington, Indiana High School basketball opens up. Practices are going on. They now play almost like a preseason game with teams around the area. They can play those games. They don't count. It's more of a scrimmage. But the first game coming up really quickly is on Wednesday, and that's at the Hatchet House, Joe, and it's going to be the number one Bari Vikings, Class 1A, number one team, and they're going to be taking on the Washington Hatchets at Hatchet House, and Coach Gene Miller and his Hatchets, who have struggled the last couple years after a couple straight state championships, and I think they'll probably be a learning year again for them. They don't have a lot of size, but Coach Miller is an outstanding coach. I had an opportunity to coach against him many times. He does a great job, and he'll have them ready for Coach Brian Hughes and his Bari Vikings. And that Bari Viking team, literally, if they stay healthy, if they keep the right focus, and, you know, you never know about high school players, have a great chance of going far in the tournament. Yet they play in a tough sectional. They have Lagodi, North Davies, Vincent Reveille, who has an outstanding team. So we're going to see Hoosier Hysteria kicking off at a great venue, the Hatchet House, with the Bari Vikings and the Washington Hatchets.
And Bari has a Schulteis on the bench this year.
Yeah, my son is helping with Coach Hughes and the staff, so I'm excited for him. I think it's a great program to start in. I think it's a great staff to learn from. It's a good place to be. It really is. And that'll be on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, the day after my colonoscopy. And I, again, encourage other men to take that step as well. I will be in attendance at the Hatchet House. So Coach K of the Coach K and Joe Show will be there. Hey, also this weekend, we've got a big game coming up between the Indianapolis Colts and the Arizona Cardinals. And, Joe, we know there's a connection between the Colts and the Cardinals.
What would that be?
Who would be the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals?
Oh, okay.
He's the former head coach, interim head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, Bruce Arians. And he started out 0-4. Of course, they had a lot of injuries to start the year. They're playing very, very well right now. I think they've won six straight, and they're playing a Colts team that I wouldn't call it in disarray. I call it going through a slump time. You know, losing an outstanding wide receiver, a Hall of Fame wide receiver, they're still trying to find their way as far as their targets. The running game, even with the acquisition of Trent Richardson, which I didn't think was going to be a great acquisition anyway for them. Yes, go back and listen when the acquisition happened. Coach K was right there. I said, I don't think this is going to be the answer at all for the running game with Trent Richardson. Of course, since then, he hasn't done a great deal for the Colts, and maybe he will. And Cleveland has done pretty well since they traded him. So, Joe, it'll be a situation where the Colts kind of know how Bruce Arians does things, and Bruce Arians knows how the Colts do things.
Yeah, they'll be very familiar, but both sides of it will be very familiar with each other. And, he did a great job in his time as the Colts coach and, you know, well-deserved getting a head coaching spot.
Absolutely. So we'll be watching what goes on with that game. Of course, we've got Peyton Manning, and we all love number 18 in the Denver Broncos. We'll be playing, oh, yes, the Patriots and Tom Brady, the Brady Bunch. They'll be at New England in a big game. Last night, the Indiana Hoosiers stayed perfect with a win over the Washington Huskies. 5-0 are this young Hoosier team, and I'll tell you what, I'm becoming a little bit more impressed with them each game out. Not only is their athletic skill pretty amazing, they're starting to look a little bit better as a basketball team. Now, warranted, they were out at Madison Square Garden, where I think our first group said, isn't that where the Coach K Speaks the Truth came from, the guys from New York and New Jersey that were out there watching the Hoosiers? I think it was. The Hoosiers beat Washington. Washington was out without a couple key players, but still, the Hoosiers were on the road in Madison Square Garden. They stay perfect at 5-0, and they will play the ranked Connecticut Huskies coming up in their next game. So that'll be a good game to find out where the Hoosiers are. And, Joe, to give you a little credit, Purdue is also undefeated at 4-0.
Yes, they are, but, you know, much like I didn't take or I use record with a grain of salt just because everything's at home against the Cupcakes. You know, last night's game was, you know, what I watched of it. It was too late of a game for me. I'm getting old. But, you know, they look pretty impressive, and, you know, their younger kids are really really coming on, and, you know, sometimes you get some of these first-year kids in, you just don't know what you're getting, you know. I mean, Hanner Perea, you know, last year he came in highly touted and didn't do a whole lot, but this Vonleh and Robinson and these kids, they really seem to really be stepping it up right from the get-go.
Well, I think Vonleh has been, Noah Vonleh we're talking about, I think he's got double-doubles all the way through. He's been everything he's been advertised to be. He's still got to work on being able to take two dribbles to get to the basket, but he does a great job on rebounding, putbacks, stuff, or dunkaroos off the straight pass, and he doesn't do bad with one dribble. But to really be effective, he's got to get to the point of two dribbles and making a move to the basket. Also, the Evansville Aces, if you're a U of E Aces fan, they are off to a 4-0 start, and Marty Simmons, a good friend of mine for years in the coaching ranks and outside the coaching ranks, Marty has done a great job. He's finally been able to recruit the pieces in here that he needs to. He's either had the perimeter guys or he's had a post guy. He's finally been able to get them all in there, and they're meshing well together. DJ Ballantyne is a heck of a player. They've had some pretty solid wins. Valpo was the last one here at the Ford Center as the Aces go to 4-0. Joe, there's just so much that's going on between high school, and we'd be remiss, Joe, if we did not mention the Jasper Wildcat football team, Southridge Raider football team. Of course, Scott Buning was on with us last week. They lost a heartbreaker to Paoli, and Jasper just ran into a better team with Columbus East.
Yeah, Columbus East they're just at another level. I mean, you know, it's no secret I love Jasper football, and they have some really good players on that team. I'll tell you what, I mean, the whole team. I mean, it's just it's you know, their running back their running back and quarterback are really good, but they, you know, they've got a lot of people to go along with those guys too. So I mean, it was a tough one, you know, a tough way to go out. But you know, what Jasper and what Southridge accomplished this year, you know, they'll be proud of. I know probably this week yet they're probably hurting, still stinging a little bit, but they'll get better as time goes on, and they'll realize what they accomplished. And you know, there's nothing that those kids should be depressed about. They gave it their all, and you know, they went out and played the game.
Yeah, I think so, and we'll talk more about, hopefully before the show ends, about Southridge, Scott Buning, and his Raiders, of course, and Tony Ahrens and his Wildcats. And we've got a lot of Indiana high school football to talk about yet. Chris Goodman will be coming up later in the hour to talk about Gibson Southern. And, of course, Bill Somm does just great contributor out of Indianapolis area to talk about. And he told us Columbus East has been good for the last few years, and he knew they were a really good team. But we'll talk about all that later. We're going to go to break now. When we come back, we're going to be talking Purdue basketball. As I mentioned, they're off to a 4-0 start. Elliot Bloom, basketball operations, supervisor of basketball operations, will be with us to talk about Coach Painter's Boilers. And I'm always excited to talk about hoops. We're going to break. You better be back with us and text a few people to join us. Call into the show. Don't forget that. Join us. Be interactive in this thing. We're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Son Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
So, Roy, let me ask you, what have you been doing all these years?
After the hand, there was the 80s, you know, for a while.
Drinking.
Yeah, a lot of drinking.
Are you still drinking?
No. I don't. That's behind me now. Why are you buying?
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, joined by the Coach K, Ken Schulteis. And we're going to talk some Purdue Boilermaker hoops, just what I love to talk about, with Basketball Operations Director for Purdue University, Elliot Bloom. Elliot, how are you doing today?
Great, guys. How are you doing?
Elliot, we are doing great. It's great to have you. This is Coach K, and Jeremiah was a bullfrog, and Purdue played like a bullfrog last year, but this year they're turning into the prince of the ball, aren't they? 4-0 start. Coach Painter's got to be a lot happier with the way things have started out.
Yeah, I think we're, you know, obviously the record, you know, indicates such. We kind of joked around the other day after we won our third game. We were like, you know, last year at this time, I think we were 1-2, and a lot different feeling around the program. And, you know, we have another game Sunday at home, and then we head down to Orlando and play in the Old Spice Classic next week, and so that will be a huge test for us, playing three games over 4 days. And the first game coming on Thanksgiving against Oklahoma State, who is off to a great start themselves and a top 10 ranking. So You know, we're going to find out a lot about our guys over here over the next week.
You know, the one thing that, first of all, I am a big, even though I'm an IU grad, I'm a big Coach Painter fan. I've known Coach Painter, not personally, but have talked to him years ago. He used to work out at Five-Star Camp in the Pittsburgh area. And when I was coaching on the high school level, I would take players out there, and I got to talk to him a little bit out there. I love the way he teaches defense. I love how gritty, how tough his kids play. And I know last year the struggle was really shooting the basketball all year long, and it just started to kind of seep its way into every other part of the Purdue game. What kind of things happened this summer leading up to this season, maybe to try to work some of those things out and find a way to shoot that basketball better? What kind of things did Coach Painter and the staff do to try to bring these players along?
Well, a lot of hours in the gym, obviously, from our guys, and that's kind of where it starts. The one good thing with the NCAA changed some rules around, and you know, we're allowed to work with them in the off season, whereas in years past, you know, that was kind of off limits. So now we get 2 hours a week with the guys in the summer months, and that allows you to do, you know, we break it down and do 3 40-minute workouts a week. So now you're getting the guys coming in 3 days a week and getting some skill work in, which helps. And they're here all summer anyway taking classes. So the guys that return, you know, they put a lot of time in. And then we were able to add some new pieces as well, bringing in 3 freshmen and 2 fifth-year seniors. You know, we feel like those are all have all been great additions, and especially in freshman Kendall Stevens, who is the son of Everett Stevens, who played here in the late 80s for Coach Katie. He's a phenomenal shooter, and he's a guy that you literally can't leave open anywhere on the floor. And one of our fifth-year guys, Sterling Carter, from played his undergraduate days at Seattle University, is another guy that can shoot pretty well from the perimeter. He struggled a little bit percentage-wise, but he's a guy that always has the green light from outside the arc. And you know, last year we had so many guys that are good to get at getting to the basket, but when you don't have the shooters to spread the floor, you know, it allows defenses to kind of pack it in on you. And I think this year, you know, we've got some guys that they got to honor out there around the arc, and that helps to open up some driving lanes. And then we feel like one of the biggest changes for us has just been the depth of our team now. Last year we had some guys that, you know, they knew they were going to play 30-plus minutes a game no matter what. And now when you have a deep roster and that threat, so to speak, of, you know, hey, you know, go to work or you know, the bench is going to be calling your name. That seems like it's a great motivation for some of these guys to get in the gym and work on their games that much more.
Yeah, I don't, as a former coach, I mean, I know exactly what you're saying. It helps to have some competition there in practice, on the bench, guys waiting, guys hungry. It makes those guys in front of them have to do just a little bit more to be a little bit further ahead. You know, I know a lot of people would probably like me to press you about maybe some of the early season problems with the big guy, Hammonds. I'm not going to do that. What I am going to say is when he's in the lineup, when he's focused and in the lineup and working that middle offensively and defensively, you guys are just a much better team.
Yeah, he's a, you know, it allows us, whenever you pressure like we do, you know, you're going to get some guys that go around you and you're going to get some penetration by the other team. And he allows you that safety net back there, so to speak. And it allows our guys to get up and pressure. And if they do get beat, there's still another line of defense at the rim. And, you know, Juwan Johnson was really good at that when he was here. Can't tell you how many times a guy would get beat on the perimeter and Juwan Johnson would be there to kind of clean it up. And you know, not only does AJ block a lot of shots, but he also obviously alters a lot of shots. And sometimes guys turn the corner and see him down there and get rid of the ball or get back out of the lane. And so his presence is felt quite a bit on that end of the floor. And, yeah, I mean, I would agree. We feel like we're a different team when he is in there as well from both sides. We can, you know, throw the ball to him offensively, and he's a very good back-to-the-basket player. But, yeah, as you said, defensively makes a huge difference because he is a guy that just protects the rim and allows those guys on the perimeter to feel comfortable to guard and knowing that they have him there behind him.
And you know, he's such a he's a big, he's not just a tall guy, he's a big guy. He's a wide body. He reminds me along the lines of Hibbert for the Pacers, and they just take up space. And as you said, you know, that second line of defense, first of all, you're being hawked on the ball. You're being pressured to try to go in a direction that you don't want to go with the ball. All of a sudden, you find an opening, and you think you're getting to the rim, and then you got the big guy standing there. How much has he – it looks like he's improved his footwork. Is that something that Coach Painter and the staff – focus and push the big guy on to improve that footwork, because just standing there is not enough. You got to be able to move your feet.
Yeah, he's always been pretty nimble. The one thing we have really worked on, and he's done a great job with it too, has been just his overall body and physical, you know, makeup. He's lost weight. He's kind of lost the baby fat he used to have. He's trimmed up, and that's been more than anything. That's probably been the biggest contributor to him being able to move. He's playing, you know, we feel like he's at a good spot right now physically. And then the other part of that then is just the mental aspect of it is just, you know, running the floor every time and playing hard and not taking any of those plays off. And so that's kind of the next step for him. He's got the physical part down now. And the next step, in my opinion, is the mental part and going out there and playing hard for the amount of time he's on the floor. You know, we tell all of our guys, and Coach Painter said, hey, you should play to exhaustion. You should have moments where you look over the bench and say, hey, I got to come out, man. I'm gassed, because that's how hard you should be playing. So, you know, when he takes that next step, he's going to get even more dominant in the lane, and I think that'll happen on both ends. And you know, that's kind of that's the next process for him and his maturation as a player.
Now, Elliot, this is Joe. I'm a major Purdue fan, unlike Coach K, but that's what equals it out, the show out. One thing that I've discussed with some of the Purdue people is, you know, Jay Simpson's been great. I've enjoyed watching him play this year. Is there a chance that we'll see him possibly ever at the four and Hammond at the five?
Yeah, we've actually been talking about that, you know, being a possibility, and you know, there's no question. I think, you know, Jay is he's come along very nice. He's similar to AJ in the sense that he's really transformed his body. He spent his redshirt year last year getting healthy and also, you know, getting his body in great shape. His big thing is his stamina and trying to push through, you know, fatigue and playing longer stretches at a time. And, you know, we had a game the other night where it was a close game coming down the stretch, and AJ was in foul problems, and Jay really did a good job of being able to play heavy minutes down the stretch in a long period of time, and made, not only was he just out there, but he made plays. And, you know, it was our game against Ryder the other night, it really, I think, was one of the factors that allowed us to win that game. He scored on the offensive end. He got big-time rebounds on both ends. And, you know, he's a big body as well. He's not as tall as AJ, but he's I think, a little bit more athletic than AJ is, moves his feet a little bit better. And he's a guy that his big challenge, if he's going to play the four, is going to come on the defensive end, because I think that in our league, in the Big Ten, the four man is kind of the wild card on everybody's team. You know, some guys have an undersized four man, some guys have big four men, and it just depends on every week when you look across, you know, across the sideline there, who's, you know, what kind of four man do they have? And I think that'll go a little bit of that'll be a determining factor too, and how much he does play at the four for us. When you're playing a team like a Michigan State, who traditionally has big guys on the front line, it's a lot easier to play Jay at the four. When you're playing other teams, you know, the Northwesterns and the Iowas, people like that, who have, like Aaron White at Iowa, is more of a mobile inside-outside four-man, you know, those are tough matchups for Jay to guard. I mean, if Jay were playing Purdue and he had to guard Robbie Hummel when he played the four, that's a tough matchup for Jay, you know, because Robbie can go out there and shoot the three. So, you know, I think you will see Jay at the four at some point. But like I said, a lot of that's going to be determined by, you know, the opponent we play and how that matchup happens.
Okay, let's stick with big men just for one more second. I heard Coach K talk about how mammoth A.J. Hammons is. Now, we got great news when we found out that Isaac Haas, when he opened up his recruiting again and we got back involved, that we were able to secure a verbal from him, and he signed this week. I've only heard he sounds like a very impressive large man.
He is. He's a you know, he was here in the fall on an official visit, and he had at least an inch or two on AJ. So he's a big kid. There's no doubt about that. He's really well put together. He's got long arms, big hands, everything that, you know, a traditional big guy that size, you know, has. It's rare and rarer in the college game. It seems like, you know, guards continue to dominate. But if you can get that big guy, you know, we like to have that presence in the middle. And as we talked about earlier, it really helps you on the defensive end. But Isaac is a big kid. Since I've been here, he's the biggest kid I've been around. When he was here on his visit, it was amazing to just interact with him through the weekend and to see how big he really was. But a great kid, great student. He's a 4.0 kid that wants to major in engineering. So it's a great gift for us. We feel really good about that class overall. So you know, I think when you look at the leagues around the country, you know, the Big Ten, I think, year after year, seems like it has the best big men in college basketball. So, you know, I think he'll fit right in with what we're trying to do here.
Elliot, you know, the rule's always been there. I mean, you know, I've seen the metamorphosis of the defensive, what you're allowed to do defensively. Even as a high school coach, we worked really, really hard on moving our feet and got the towels out, kids hands behind the back, 6-on-4,
mm-hmm.
all those things. Then as the 80s moved on, we got into the 90s, the officials watching the pro game, watching the college game, all the way down into high school, the physical play was allowed. You went from being able to bump them a little bit with your hips to using your forearms as long as they were close to the body, to being able to put your hands on the ball handler. Now all of a sudden, boom. We're going back the other way, which I kind of like it because it really makes guys have to work hard on moving their feet and play the game the way it's supposed to play. How has the staff at Purdue and Coach Painter, who loves to play good, hard-nosed, physical defense, how has he tried to adjust, or has he had to make any major adjustments in how you guys approach the game?
Well, we haven't made as many adjustments as much as we've just emphasized that it's going to be called. You know, and that means calling it a little tighter in practice and things like that. You know, as you said, you know, the rule has been around for a while. It's just how the rule gets called. And, you know, not only that rule, but the charge rule, where now, you know, the motion towards the basket, once you start to get into an upward motion, now you have to be set before that upward motion begins as a defensive player. So now I think one of the other things is that anytime you see a block charge call, I think 90% of the time it's going to be considered a block. And you know, we've always – one of the reasons we try to speed guys up and guard them closely is that now they start going to the basket a little bit out of control, and it allows you to take some charges. And so now I think you're going to see fewer and fewer opportunities like that because I think the block's going to be called so much. So – It's changed things a little bit, but we're still not going to get away from pressure. And Coach loves to, you know, get up into guys and try to create, you know, havoc and turnovers, and we'll continue to do that. But it's just telling the guys that they have to be just more aware of moving their feet and not reaching. And you've got to be – it forces you as a defender to be in more of a compact guarding position instead of, you know, standing straight up and using your hands. You've got to move your feet more. And that's the adjustment for guys, and it's just a matter of in practice, just, you know, keep harping on it. We haven't really changed any drills or anything like that. It's just been more of an emphasis from a coaching standpoint, and letting them know that those kind of things are going to be called. So I know they did it, I think, because they were concerned that scoring was dropping, and they wanted to see, you know, more scoring in the game. I think there could have been some other ways to go about that, but you know, this is what we got to deal with now. So, you know, it's one of those things where we'll take a little bit of time, but guys will adjust, and I'll be anxious to see how the officials call things once we get into conference season. I have a feeling that they're still going to hit you from time to time, but I think once we get going a little bit more in this season, I think things will kind of find a happy, you know, meeting between where we are now and where we used to be. So,
and you're an Indiana native, I think Greenfield, Indiana. Where'd you go to high school at?
Mm-hmm. Played at Mount Vernon for Jimmy Howe.
Who is your coach?
Jimmy Howe. He's at LaSalle now.
Yeah, tremendous job. A great job as a coach. And didn't he coach some girls as well?
Yeah, when I was I forget what year it was when I was there. He did a little bit of both. He did the men's or boys and girls team at Mount Vernon. So I look back on that,
I can't even
imagine that.
A lot of time. I mean, I love it. I know I love it, and I miss it. And I can imagine he was doing more than 24 hours a day. Now, at some point last year, you've been with Purdue, I believe, 6 years now, a Purdue alum. You're struggling. I mean, struggling at shooting that basketball. At some point, were they looking at you, hoping you had some eligibility left? Didn't you hit 10 threes in high school in a game?
Yeah, but they once you see the foot speed, that goes out the window.
You know, that's when you go inside out. You go into the big guy and he gets you back out.
There you go. I'm pretty good in a horse game, but you get me out there and then have me move, and it goes downhill really quick. Coach Al used to tell me I had trouble jumping over a pencil, so that kind of sums up my athletic prowess.
You know, Elliot, you guys are going to be heading down, and I don't want to jump ahead in games, but as you mentioned, you're going to be taking on Oklahoma State. That's a good basketball team. I've been able to catch them a couple times on the tube. You know, they can play. They've got speed. They've got shooters. They've got some physical players. I mean, this is a real test when you get to that point. I don't like to look past any game. As a coach, you just don't do that. But this will really give you guys an idea of where you're at on the road, neutral site, playing a top-10 team.
Yeah, no doubt. And you go, you know, this is why you like to go to these tournaments, because it does challenge you. It gives you like an NCAA tournament type feel too, because you're playing multiple games over a short period. You know, you go to the NCAA tournament, and hopefully you get to play two games on that weekend, and then hopefully advance to the next weekend. And this gives you that kind of a feel. You know, it's a neutral floor. You're playing another quality team. So it's always – these tournaments are always good for that. You know, we're going to get three games down there. And, you know, as you said, Oklahoma State's a tough task, and they'll be the highest-ranked team down there. So we get them right off the bat. And then the next day, the day after Thanksgiving, we'll face either Washington State or Butler, you know, two more good teams. So it's a tremendous challenge for our guys. And I think, we have to – take care of business here Sunday, and obviously, you know, we haven't even mentioned that trip to our guys yet, but we'll deal with that after the weekend here and turn our attention towards that game. And it should be a great trip for our guys to get some experience, you know, of playing in those kind of games. And overall, we still have an extremely young team. I mean, we not only do we have the three freshmen we brought in, the two fifth-year guys, but most of our guys who did a majority of the work last year are still only sophomores. We have our two seniors that have been in the program a while, and Tyrone Johnson and Travis Carroll, and then the two fifth-year guys who are basically new, you know, to the program as well. And we don't have any juniors in our program. So, really, when you look at our top to bottom, we've had two guys that have been in the program that are upperclassmen. Everybody else is new or underclassmen. So, these kind of tournaments, we can't get enough of these kind of games to get our guys, you know, more experience as we get closer and closer to Big Ten play.
Elliot, as we finish up this segment, I'm going to ask you just one quick question. First of all, let me say that the Big Ten is just far better, not just in Indiana but all over the country, when Purdue and Indiana are both competitive, and with both teams being young. This could get fun these next few years, but when you gauge the team right now, as you sit around as a coaching staff and Coach Painter's thoughts, this is a young team. Are you further ahead offensively or defensively at this point in the season?
I think we're probably further ahead from an offensive standpoint than we've probably ever been. Why that is, I don't know. I think we've put in probably more sets than we have in the past at this point of the season. And I think part of that, too, is we have more weapons offensively now. And so it's kind of like, you know, a kid on Christmas morning getting that new toy and he wants to try it out. You know, you feel pretty good about it. You're like, okay, let's see what this thing can do. So I think there's a part of it from that standpoint that maybe has us a little bit further down the road from an offensive standpoint. That being said, you know, we always spend a lot of time defensively. And I know over the years when people have asked members of our coaching staff, you know, hey, how do you guys get your guys to guard like that? And I remember Coach Painter, I was right there one time, and he said, we work on it. We practice it. We spend a lot of time on it. You know, a lot of people, I'm not sure how much time other programs spend on the defensive side of the ball, but I know we spend a lot. So I would say that probably we're a little bit further down the road offensively than we have been in the past. And I'm not saying we're behind from a defensive standpoint. I feel like we have probably more room to improve defensively. And part of that is probably with the new rules and getting used to that and adjusting. So I think and I think overall as a team with the youth that we have, I think this is a team that's going to continue to get better and better as the year goes on. And I think hopefully we look back at some of these games in November, and when you compare the film between now and, you know, February and March, you think, man, we've come a long way. You know, this team's really improved as the season's gone on. So I hope that'll be the case. And I think a lot of that has to do with, like I said, just so many new parts and new people. And hopefully they continue to work hard and improve as the year goes on.
Well, I think you said the key thing there from Coach Painter, and this is what I always believed as a coach and still do. You have to work on these things every single day to be good defensively or offensively. You've got to break them down into drills. You've got to bring it together. And you got to do it every day. And I think the mistake a lot of coaches make who struggle on every level is they just count on the talent of their players and not understanding it's repetition, repetition, repetition. And that's why I know that Boiler basketball, whether I'm a big fan, supporter or not, is going to be solid because you guys are doing it the right way. Thanks for being with us, Elliot. We really appreciate it. We're going to watch the progress of the Boilers going forward, and I'm happy that the ball's going through the hoop for you guys right now.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot for having me on, guys. It was good talking to you.
Well, great to have you. Tell Coach Painter hi. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking some Indiana high school football playoffs. Gibson Southern, of course, still alive from the southern part of the state. We'll be talking with our contributor down in the southern part of Indiana, Chris Goodman. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
Brother Thomas, you know what it says in the Bible about not forgiving people.
Why don't you tell us all what it says, Brother Hezekiah?
It's against it.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the coach, Ken Schulteis, And we're going to be talking some high school playoff football here in Indiana in just a second. I want to wish my nephew and godchild, Tyler Bartley, a happy 21st. And, you know, when it's your show, you can do those things. So happy 21st birthday to Tyler Bartley, who lives in Jasper, Indiana. Also, Frank Vogel of the Pacers. We are working to get him on the show soon, and we're hoping to have him either next week or the following week. Excited to talk to the Pacer coach. I think he's done a great job for the Pacers. They sit 10-1. But talking about a great job and talking about a birthday boy, I don't know if it's his birthday, but it's a celebration here at the Coach K and Joe Show every time we welcome Chris Goodman to the show.
How are you doing? You know, I think you did miss it, but if I remember right, I think you sent me something on Facebook. Maybe it was like a $100 gift card or something like that. Maybe that was my imagination. No, I take that back. But that would have been nice, though, right? You know how they offer you to buy somebody Starbucks or something, and you know to get like a wealth of money from one of my favorite guys. That would be awesome.
Well, you know, Joe is the executive producer of the show, entitled only. The time, and he's in charge of getting those gift cards out. So I put in for it. I just don't know. Joe just may not have.
You submitted the e-form, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We just had Elliot Bloom of basketball operations for Purdue on, Chris, and you know, Purdue's starting out 4-0, and they look much better, and they're putting the ball in the hoop, and things are at least look better in West Lafayette basketball wise this year.
Yeah, I think all the local teams are kind of growing, but they're getting better. I think the same can be said for Indiana. They've got a young team, and they're growing, getting better, and just improving. And it's been a while for Purdue. I know it's been a tough couple of years. So, I mean, really, they had some horrible injuries on a team that probably could have went to the Final Four, could have went to the National Championship. And ever since then, they've kind of been in a rebuilding phase. And I think now is kind of that time that they're around. And I think all the Indiana teams, Butler's looking pretty good. I think Notre Dame's had at least one tough loss. But I think they have the potential to be good. And then here in Evansville's undefeated. I mean, it's nice to see all the Hoosier teams, and not all of them are called Hoosiers, obviously, but it's nice to see all of them doing really well.
Yeah, all the college basketball teams in Indiana have started out very, very well. Indiana State's got an outstanding team. Evansville looks really good. Hopefully we'll have all those coaches on or members of their staff at some point. Let's talk some high school football right now. You know, Chris, a couple weeks ago we had all these Evansville schools still alive in the playoffs, a lot of local teams alive. Now they're gone. They ran into better teams. They ran into each other. Whatever it may have been, they're out. They had great years. We celebrate them. But we've got one team that is still pushing, plodding, battling, finding a way to come back, get ahead, hold on, and that's the Gibson Southern Titans under Coach Hart.
What a year they've had. I just can't even explain, you know, to follow up last year and to be this good this year, undefeated at this point. They're running into, I guess, probably one of those big roadblocks. You look at Gibson Southern and you see they're undefeated. They're playing Brebeuf, and they're 10-3, but their losses come to, you know, some of the better schools and some of the better programs in the heart of Indiana. So I think that's going to be a very tough game for Gibson Southern, but I think they're on such a roll right now, you'd have a hard time convincing or unconvincing those kids that they're a great football team, because they have been so dominant through the playoffs this year. They've had a couple of close wins here in the sectionals, but they've persevered and they've won, and that's a credit to Nick Hart and what he's done there in his second year.
Well, you know, for our listeners in the northern part of the state or in the Midwest or even around the country that catch the show live and on podcast, Gibson Southern is located in Gibson County, Indiana, southern part of Indiana, made up of Fort Branch, Owensville. They used to be the Owensville Kickapoos, the Fort Branch Twigs, and the Hobstadt. I can't remember what they were. But those small communities with great restaurants, by the way, pulled together, and they formed Gibson Southern. You know, the interesting thing about this school, they've always had decent, you know, tradition in football. Not great, but decent tradition. But these last couple years have been outstanding. And I might make mention, Chris, and you already know this, and you can expand on it. Here's a team, as you just mentioned, to do this 2 years in a row. with a quarterback and some key players that are underclassmen. I think quarterback's a sophomore. One of the main wide receivers is a sophomore. This is a team that has a good mix of upperclassmen and yet guys that are going to be around for a while.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's very possible they could go, they could lose to Rebuff. Hopefully not. Hopefully they'll represent Southern Indiana well, and I think they will. But they could lose to Brebeuf and finish this year with one loss and come back next year and make another run at it because they got a lot of young players. Nick Sellers is a quarterback that, like you said, is a sophomore. He's a left-hander, which is a little bit – it's not quite as difficult to defend in baseball, you know, football as it is in baseball. But it presents a unique challenge for teams. And by the way, his favorite player is Tim Tebow. I got a chance to talk to him, and he was talking about that. And when you look up to somebody like that, and you look at what Tim Tebow did on the college level, you just think if this guy aspires to be that kid, he's going to really work hard over the next couple of years to get better and better. And who knows what the sky is the limit. And then you talk about a team that it isn't really just the quarterback. They have a great offensive line. They have multiple weapons on offense where they can run this guy, that guy, that guy. I remember doing the play-by-play for the Princeton game, and it was really hard to keep up, whether it was Dalton Armstrong or one of the other running backs that was coming in. They shuffle so many kids in that it's really hard if you're a defense. And, you know, when I played football, you were always like, hey, look out for number 23, or hey, look out for number 31. But when you're shuffling three different guys in throughout the course of a game, it certainly becomes a little more difficult to kind of spot and figure out, you know, who's going to be the key guy to key on.
Yeah, here's a team that I think is interesting. Because Gibson Southern, which it was a high-octane analogy, high-powered offense, scored a lot of points. As they got later into the year, into the tournament period, and we know this happens in every sport, Chris, very rarely do teams just walk through. You could go back to some of the Marion Giant teams that kind of walked through but in basketball. But as far as this team, they not only have had to score points, but they've also found themselves in situations where teams have come back, and now they've had to continue to find a way to win. This Gibson Southern team, maybe people see the scores and they don't realize, they've had some games down here during the stretch run here in the playoffs where they've had to find a way to win. And I think that is a mark of an outstanding team and bodes well for them as they go up against a very tough Brebeuf team.
Yeah, it's just like I think it's the analogy of basketball where you're in a lot of close games and you have a lot of games that come down to buzzer beaters. You got to learn how to win those close games, and I think that is invaluable. When you get to this level, all the teams are pretty good or actually probably great, you know. I mean, you don't get there by accident, winning your sectional, winning your regional, and making it to semi-state without having beaten some of the better teams in the area or in your region. So I think those close games, absolutely, I think that could be a factor. Now, whether they can keep Brebeuf in a close game, that's the big situation that they're going to run into because Brebeuf is going to be really, really talented. I know Brownstown Central, they beat them by 15, but Brebeuf's going to probably be on a different level. I don't think that's a level that Gibson Southern can't compete with at all. I'm not saying that at all. I think Gibson Southern could do there. But you look at, you know, Brebeuf last week, they beat Guerin Catholic 38-17, and Guerin's always, I mean, they're always great. They beat Western Boone, a team that is normally really darn good in Class 3A and Tri-West. I mean, they've just rolled over those teams, and you talk about teams that haven't really rolled. Well, they've kind of rolled since the sectionals. They won a game by 34, by 24, by 21, by 21 last week, and they've kind of not had those close games, so that could be a huge factor if Gibson Southern gets them in a close game down the stretch.
I absolutely agree with you. I think when you're a Gibson Southern, you know, a lot of times teams coming out of the southern part of the state get labeled as, well, they don't play the tough athletic teams that you get around the Indianapolis area or northern Indiana with the South Bend, Gary, Fort Wayne type deal. And I think a lot of times, you know, as a coach in this part of the state, when I was going through, it becomes a mental game. It's absolutely a physical game, but it becomes a mental game as well. And this is what I'm talking about, Chris, and I think you can relate to this a little bit. This is going to be a game in which Gibson Southern, in order to put themselves in a position to win this game, can't afford the costly turnovers. I know that as you go ahead and you start playing teams with a little more skill, a little more depth, they'll wear you down. They catch you off guard. But one thing you can't do is you can't turn the ball over.
Yeah, and you can't get in a hole. I mean, you look, let's take, for example, Modern Day that was probably favored over Southridge. They got down that game and never could rally. And that's the way it is in the playoffs. If you don't come and start with your best effort, and I'm not taking anything away from Southridge at all. That was a wonderful win for their program and what they did. But you look at Modern Day and you look how darn good they were throughout the year and how dominant. But if you don't get off to that good start in the playoffs, the same can be said for Brebeuf. You know, Brebeuf comes and they don't bring their A game, and Gibson Southern gets a lead. You better well believe Nick Hart's going to turn on the Jets. He's not going to play conservative. He's going to try to run up that score and you know, take it to the house at the half if he can. But obviously, that's probably not going to happen. It's probably going to be a pretty close game between those two. There's going to be a lot of points thrown on the board. I can't imagine that Gibson Southern won't be able to score in the 30s, but you never know. You know, it's playoff football. If you're turning the ball over, hopefully we'll have good weather. Hopefully we won't have any rain, although if it does rain, I would say from seeing Gibson Southern, that certainly plays to their strength because they can run the ball. They can do a lot of things on offense. It doesn't really require throwing it in the air. They do a lot of end-arounds and different plays like that where they go to the wing back or whatever. I mean, I think that would play to their strength. But then again, I haven't seen Brebeuf in person, so that might also play to their strength as well.
Well, I know Bill Somm, one of our contributors from Indianapolis area, will be with us a little bit later, and he'll shed some light on Brebeuf as well. But one thing that Gibson Southern does bring to the table, the diversified offense that you're talking about, some big solid linemen on both sides of the ball, they're also capable of the big play, and they've shown it in just about every game they've had. They've caught the defense off guard with a big play.
Yeah, and I think that's huge. I mean, I saw a couple of plays where they threw a long bomb to Scheller that it was a fumble in the backfield, and Sellers just dumped it off, and Scheller took it all the way to the house on a play that should have been a loss for like 12 yards. So I think they've made the most out of what they could do this year. They capitalize on opponents' mistakes. I think Gibson Southern has a complete football team. They could be running into another complete football team, which makes, you know, just an absolutely wonderful game. I hope they don't get intimidated, but at this point, I don't think they will. I think they've played a pretty good strength of schedule. I think particularly in the playoffs, I think some games against close games, like you said, against Memorial and Bossy and even Vincennes Lincoln have prepared them to play some good teams. And even last week against Brownstown Central, that I think they'll be ready for what Brebeuf's going to bring to the table. But that's a pretty darn good football team. I haven't seen them in person, but just looking at their strength of schedule and the way they've competed against some of the higher classes, they're a pretty good football team.
Well, it should be exciting. We're excited for the Gibson Southern community. Coach Hart has done a great job of getting these kids to believe. You know, it's tough to win. I mean, Chris, you've been around sports for years. You've watched a lot of games, a lot of teams. As a coach myself, you know, people don't understand how tough it is to win, to compete, to get kids ready, no matter what level, and to be able to move on in the tournament, because somebody's not ready to play. Mistake happens. Things don't go your way. Mentally and physically, you got to be ready. And Coach Hart, the young guy, has done a good job of getting these guys to buy in. He's got some guys with talent, but you got to be able to get these guys in the right position, and you got to get them to want to play. And him and his staff, we can't say enough for his staff as well, just done a great job of putting this run together.
I agree, but I also agree with your statement earlier about the margin of error. Gibson Southern, in a lot of contests, they can overcome some mistakes. They're not going to be able to overcome those mistakes, I don't think, against a Brebeuf. If they have a couple of turnovers early in the game and get down, I think they're very well capable of coming back. They showed last year, and I think they had a miraculous comeback. I'm trying to think. Maybe they were 28 down at one point in the playoffs and came back and beat one. I think it was Charleston, maybe, that they came back and had an unbelievable game. But I don't think that situation is going to happen against a team like Brebeuf. If you get down, you're going to be in a world of hurt. You want to optimize your turnovers, your mistakes, and you don't want to get into the situation where you're trailing by any means against a team, you know, of that strength level.
I agree with you totally. It will be no surprise if they win, but it'll be no surprise if they don't, because this is just that level of play you got to stick in the game and you got to stay with it. The further you get in the tournament, it's tough to play behind. Chris, great to have you again. Thanks for being with us. Try to catch up with you again next week.
Hey, anytime, and hopefully they'll pull out a win. I hate to show my bias off at all, but Nick Hart's a great guy. It's been wonderful covering him, and I really hope that the Titans move on. It would be wonderful for that community to see them up there at Lucas Oil.
Well, if you're looking for insurance and everybody has to have it and you're in the Newburgh area, go see our friend Chris Goodman. He'll take care of you.
Thanks, man. Awesome to be on the show.
All right, we're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to be talking some IU football with Mark Deal, assistant AD, alumni relations with the football program. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories. And they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Hey, this is Coach K. Want to get the word out about your business? Well, team up with the Coach K and Joe Show and form a winning marketing team, and we can help put your marketing dollars to work 24 hours a day. Through our live shows and our 24-hour available podcasts, your marketing dollars can work for you around the clock. So give us a call at Milligan Communications, 812-630-2449, and we will help your marketing dollars to score for you.
We are going to do what we set out to do. We're going to win that tournament.
Yes! I knew it. I knew you were a champion the minute I saw you bowl-ish.
I'm not going to bowl. You are.
You are such a loser. You're a bona fide schmuck. Look at me!
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. Speaking of Tom Deanhart from the Big Ten Network, he just tweeted on his Twitter to listen to the Coach K and Joe Show. And, yes, listen to Tom. He knows what he's talking about. Our next guest, we're talking IU. I love IU, a graduate of Indiana University. I love the Hoosiers. We're going to talk some IU football with a guy with a lot of energy. He's an Indiana, State of Indiana Hall of Famer. He's got a family of Indiana Hall of Famers. Mark Deal, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you.
Well, it's great to have you. And we talked a little earlier with Elliot Bloom up at Purdue. We talked a little Purdue basketball. Now we're going to talk some IU football. Of course, you are assistant AD with alumni relations, work within the football program. You've been around the football program for years and years and years. Mark, I got to ask you straight out. We seem so close at times. Coach Wilson and this group seem so close at times. We just can't seem to put a consistent game after two or three games together.
Yeah, we have at different times, but you're right. We haven't strung them together. We, played very well, for example, against Bowling Green, and then didn't play quite as well against Missouri. Although I think Missouri probably had something to do with that. That's a lot better football team than everybody thought. Not that we thought. We thought they were going to be pretty good, but than a lot of people thought. The Penn State game was another one where I thought we played very, very well on both sides of the ball and really came up probably our best effort of the year against Penn State, and again we're a little bit of inconsistency, and that's what we've been trying to find this year is consistency in our play.
You know, Mark, you've been in a lot of different areas of the country and in different positions coaching.
Mm-hmm.
You were on the offensive line coach at Rutgers, I believe, some different parts of the country. When you look at the type of players at Indiana University, and I know Coach Wilson and his staff, they are beating the path, trying to bring in the best players they can. I do think we have an outstanding offense. And, you know, I'm just a fan when it comes to football. I know we're trying to fill some holes on the defensive end. When you look at the different parts of the country where you've been, are the football players in the state of Indiana, not just at IU, but on the high school level, is the state of Indiana producing better football players?
Absolutely. I think without a question, and that's our number one priority is recruiting the state. And I think, you know, we've done that in the last few years. And you look at the state of Indiana players that are playing for us and doing very well, from our senior class, Deweese Wilson and Greg Heaven and Kofi Hughes and then just going down in classes, Trey Roberson and some of our young guys, Antonio Allen, Darius Latham. So we've made our state a big priority, and I'm not even talking about our line guys, Jake Reed and Jacob Bailey, and so we've had Wes Rogers, all state of Indiana guys that have done very well for us. So that's a big priority for us. I think the state football in the state of Indiana has gotten appreciably better. I think there's a couple reasons for that. I think one, the advent of the playoffs. Years ago, and I'm dating myself, I actually played high school football in an era before there were playoffs. And in fact, my sophomore year, there was no playoffs. They didn't start the playoffs till my junior year. And at that time, there were only four teams in the whole state that got in. So I think the inclusion of the sectional everybody in kind of format has made the playoffs a big, big thing for high school football. First the Hoosier Dome and now Lucas Oil Stadium of moving the state finals there in a very festive weekend of football, a celebration of high school football has been just a godsend. I think that's done that. And I think, as goofy as this sounds, I think the success of Peyton Manning, especially, and the Indianapolis Colts have brought football more to the forefront in the state of Indiana. So I think all those factors contributed. And we've got a great group of high school coaches. I was listening on your show here when I was on hold a little bit, and there's no question. There are quality coaches from the northern part of the state all the way to the southern part of the state. I think it's just been a very much a boon for high school football in the state of Indiana, and I think that's why our prospects are a lot better.
You know, I agree with you 100%, and we've talked on this show before, the explosion of the Colts and Peyton Manning and the PR and the young guys, just like they did in Indiana as far as basketball for years and years growing up, it's just changed the landscape. You've got places like Indianapolis that has grown so much population-wise. Tremendous young football players are coming out of that metro area. You've got great universities in this state, and before it was just Notre Dame, really, when it came to football, and Purdue a little bit, but now the opportunity to play college football in the state of Indiana for a young man growing up in the state of Indiana is great, and I've seen, even though I'm a basketball coach by nature and my past, I've seen the evolution of the high school coaching in football all over the state, from the offense and the defensive schemes to the key parts of the fundamentals and how to teach it. And we've had a lot of good Indiana people, natives, that have left this state to coach football elsewhere. And now we're starting to see those guys come back and coach football. So I think the next decade for football in Indiana and the high school and those guys going up to the college level is going to be great. And so I see that as a key, as you mentioned, for Coach Wilson and his staff to have good relationships with the high school coaches, college coaches here in the state.
I don't think there's any question. And I think by and large our college coaches – you know, and I'm not just saying Indiana, but other coaches, they do a good job of getting out there and getting those kids, at all levels of football, not just the Notre Dame or the BCS teams or Indiana or Purdue or that kind of thing. But I think, you know, the success Ball State's had this year has been remarkable. They've done a heck of a job this year, going all the way down to Division III. I'm an old Wabash College guy. I coached my first job out of leaving Indiana as a player was coach at Wabash College. And, you know, Wabash is doing very well this year. They didn't get in the playoffs, but ended up with a 9-1 year, a heck of a year. Franklin College and coach Mike Leonard has done an amazing job there. University of Indianapolis was in the playoffs last year. Butler won their league this year. So the college football in this state has grown because the high school football in this state has grown. And I'm a Northwest Indiana guy. I'm a Holder Brickie, and so I'm partial to the region and football up in that part of the state. But you got to say that by looking at how good the teams are in central Indiana and the Indianapolis area in particular, with looking at, you know, especially in the big classes with Carmel and Warren Central and Pike and Center Grove. I mean, they're really rugged and really good, especially in that top category.
Mark, we got a question that just came in from a listener, Craig, and Craig wants to know, how do we continue – this is a big question, but if you can break it down the best you can, how do we improve the football program overall? What are the steps that we need to continue to take in recruiting, especially on the defensive side?
Yeah, and we're trying and doing that. You know, it's the way the rules are with college, and I coached college football for a long, long time, and it was an actual position coach for 22 years before I got into administration and things. I don't know if I'd want to coach defense anymore. the way the rules are, the way offenses are, it's tough. It is really tough. And it's much easier to recruit the great skill kids on offense. And it's harder to get that guy, that dominant defensive lineman, that dominant pass rusher. And I get that all the time from Indiana alums and people say, hey, we got to get a pass rush. We've got to get a pass rush. Well, a lot of times you recruit a pass rush and try and get one. And we've been trying. And we've been trying to develop them. And a lot of times you just got to develop them. Nick Mancini's done a heck of a job for us. And he's just a sophomore. And he's just going to continue to get better. But it's a small incremental process that you got to keep going. I think we're in the right direction. I feel good about what we're doing, and I think we got a chance to be very competitive and very good very soon. It's so much different than basketball. Cody Zeller's impact on Indiana basketball was amazing, and that's one guy. And the time before Cody is not a slight on anybody else, and the time after Cody. Just look at the Indiana success then during that time because of Cody Zeller. And in basketball, you can do that. They put a statue up in Terre Haute last week for Larry Bird for what he did at Indiana State. It's a lot harder in football, and it's a numbers game. You need a lot more numbers. You just got to be patient. And I think that Coach Wilson and our staff is on the right track in getting that way.
You know, Coach, you said it right. Football is such a numbers game. We've brought some really solid recruits on the defensive end into IU, but we've got some other pieces that have to be filled in order to really make that come about and be the kind of defense that Coach Mallory wants with that group and overall Coach Wilson wants. We've got an offense.
No question, an injuries play a factor, and I'm not going to sit here and complain about injuries, but we've been nicked up. And just as a kid who is a difference maker, we think Antonio Allen tore his ACL in the second quarter against Michigan. And that was, I can't remember what game number that was, but it was about game six or something, and put him out for the rest of the year. Well, he had just started. That was his first start. So these things are, unfortunately, these things happen, and you just got to – you just got to bite the bullet, and eventually things are going to get better. You just got to believe that, and our kids believe that. Our kids haven't lost any faith in that, and that's the main thing. You just got to keep trying hard to bring that kind of quality kid, and that quality kid's in the state. There's no question about it. We're trying to get the best players in the state, and keep them at Indiana, and if we continue to do that as we have the past two or three years, we're going to be all right.
Let me ask you one more question from the recruiting standpoint. Coach, Would it be better if there were more junior college opportunities in the state in the short term to bring players in, or is that something that that's really not the focus? You look at that and you say, if we can find one or two. How does Coach Wilson and the staff view bringing in the junior college player?
Well, we recruited junior college players, and some of them have done very well for us, and fit certain needs that we've had. Tim Bennett, for example, is a junior college player for us. I'm not sure if he's still leading the country in pass breakups at corner, or he's in the top two or three. I know he was leading at one point in the last couple weeks, and I haven't seen the national stats yet recently. But Tim Bennett was a JC kid. David Cooper, our strong side linebacker, is a JC kid. So we've had guys that have come in and done well for us. It's got to be a match. It's got to be a fit. It's got to be a fit academically. Both those kids were very good students and could handle Indiana, academically, and have done very well for us academically as well. It's a part of it, but it's not going to be something that we're going to go out and sign 20 JC guys. Our main focus is the high school player, develop the high school player, and specifically the Indiana high school player, and then supplement it with a JC kid at a corner or at a linebacker position in need at different areas and do that. So that's kind of where we are right now. Chris Cormier, a defensive tackle, is another one who was the JC defensive tackle, has done very well for us this year. So he's been nicked up here and there a little bit, but that's kind of where we are there.
Yeah, if you just joined the show, we're talking to Mark Deal, assistant AD, alumni relations with the football program, talking a little IU football. Mark, coach, I guess I should call you coach because you coached for so many years. you're a Hobart Bricky.
Yes, I am. A proud Hobart Bricky.
A great tradition up there. Maybe not recently, but at one time, if you were talking football in the state of Indiana, you had to talk Hobart.
Well, my father was the head coach there that built that tradition. He became the head coach there in 1947 and was the head coach there until 1966 and retired and became the principal and turned it over to Don Howell, who was one of his assistants, and played for Don, or played for my dad. Don was a player for my dad and went to Indiana and played, and then came back and coached for my dad. And my dad retired and became the principal and turned it over to Don Howell. And a period of 50 years there between my dad and Don Howell, Hobart had two head football coaches, and they won 450 games. So I'm very proud of that. I'm very proud to be a Hobart Bricky. There's no question. That's in the family, I'm very proud of high school football in the state, period. I'm bullish on Indiana high school football. I love it. And got great relations with all the coaches in the state and know them all very well, having recruited the state for a long time. I just think the high school coaching in our state is just taken off tremendously, just tremendously. And I see what they do because they come to camps and things, and I see how good coaches we have in the state, and we don't take a back seat to anybody.
Well, I share your enthusiasm, the way you share your family and your connection with Hobart. I feel the same way. I'm a Jasper native. My dad was a basketball coach at Jasper. I went back and was a Jasper basketball coach, and, of course, our football coach for many years was Jerry Brewer, one of the winningest.
Jerry
coaches.
Brewer actually coached against my dad, so that shows you how long Coach Brewer was there.
I understand. I know my dad was an assistant football coach for a while with Coach Brewer before he became the head basketball coach. But it was a perfect segue in what you just said, Mark. Consistency. Two coaches in all those years, they shared a connection from the beginning, and Hobart prospered from it. I'm a big Coach Wilson fan. I like what he's doing. And I want to see the consistency of him having a chance to build that. Offensively, we are as fun to watch as if you get nothing else, you're going to get a show offensively. We still got work to do on that defensive end, but he's done a great job of giving us something to build on. I'm a big fan of consistency, and I hope that Indiana fans will continue to support Coach Wilson and this program, because I think that's what we need, some consistency. Give him time. It's a numbers game. You got to fill those holes. We've got a solid offense. We're working on the defense.
Yeah, absolutely, and I think we will get that done. You just got to stay with the plan. You know, Kevin's got a plan. He's working that plan, and we will get it done. I don't think there's any question about it, and we're looking forward to it. You speak of Jasper. Tony Ahrens was a teammate of mine in Indiana in the 70s. So Tony and I go way back as teammates. So I root for Tony and Jasper as well down there.
Yeah, he does a great job. He was a few years ahead of me in school, and I do remember, I was a little younger than you, Mark, but I do remember when only a few teams got a chance to get in the playoffs and when there were no playoffs. Mark, it was great having you. A great ambassador for Indiana University, for football in the state of Indiana. I hope you come back and talk to us.
I'll be glad to. Be glad to. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Have a great weekend. Thanks for joining us, Mark. When we come back, we'll cover a few things, and then we'll talk with Bill Somm out of the Indianapolis area. He does a great job with Indiana high school football contributions, as well as a former NCAA top executive. We're going to go to break. Thanks, Craig Greilich, for your question for Mark on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family, cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper. We've all heard the commercial, 15 minutes could save you 15. Folks, let me tell you, it won't take 15 minutes for us to save you money. Give Ubelars a call at 1-800-937-USA1 or visit us online at ubelar.com. We'll tell you the facts, treat you right, no bait and switch, and best of all, we will save you money. Ubelar Chevy Cadillac, Toyota Scion in Jasper, where customers send their friends for a lifetime of savings in 15 minutes or less since 1929.
How come you know so much about bowling?
Well, maybe this will help explain it to you.
Wow, that's really something. What's that made out of?
14 karat gold.
Really? Looks like rubber.
No, the ring, not the hand.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
We're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. What a great discussion, conversation with Mark Diehl, assistant AD at Indiana University Alumni Relations in the football program. And, of course, man, just the discussion today on the show talking about Purdue Hoops and IU football, two programs that are trying to work their way back. Folks, you know, it's tough to win. It really is. I think a lot of times as fans, and I'm a fan too, as well as a former coach and somebody who understands a little bit how tough it is, it's just tough to win. Your players have to be ready. Your game plan has to be ready. There's so much that goes into, especially on the college level, finding the right recruits. On the high school level, it can be even tougher because you got to take what comes through the system unless you're in the Indianapolis area and you're recruiting some kids in. We know the IHSA's got a little lax on that. Maybe we'll have Bobby Cox on at some point, Joe, and commissioner of the IHSA, and talk a little bit with him. But I really did enjoy the discussion with both Elliot Bloom at Purdue about the basketball team. If you missed it and you just joined in, you can listen to us on podcast. Mark Diehl, IU, talking football. You got to have some consistency, folks, and you sometimes you just got to hang in there with your coaching staff. I think that if we weren't succeeding on the offensive end as well as the defensive end, I might question it a little bit more. But we've got an exciting offense at IU. It's one of the best in the Big Ten, maybe in the country. As far as points and yards and things like that, they have the ability to come back. We're just missing some positions on defense. I know Coach Mallory's catching a lot, but, you know, he comes from a great pedigree. But you got to get those guys in there. We've got some good young guys. We have a couple guys hurt at IU, but they're trying to find their way. Can they compete with Ohio State? It's going to be tough. Although IU has played Ohio State well at times, it's going to be tough to compete at all. The big game we got to look at is we got to make sure we get the Boilers if you're an IU fan. And if you're a Purdue fan, you salvage at least some credibility in the season if you can beat the Hoosiers. But, you know, if you join in the show, you're going to hear from great guests, but you're also going to hear our opinions. And you know what they say.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
And the Hoosiers, of course, are out in New York at Madison Square Garden playing in a classic out there. They had a big win over Washington to remain undefeated. And Coach K does speak his truth. Again, thank you to Craig Greilich for sending in a Facebook message to Mark Diehl and talking about IU. IU fans want to win in football. And I go up for the tailgates. It's exciting. A lot more fans are coming up. A lot more fans are staying throughout the game. We just got to plug some holes. We want to get into the upper half of the Big Ten. Again, college basketball in full bloom. Indiana high school playoffs in full bloom. High school basketball girls has started in the state of Indiana and around the country. High school basketball for boys starting soon. First game, at least in the area that we broadcast out of, the Barre Vikings, number one in 1A, and my son is an assistant coach on the staff. We'll go up against the Washington Hatchets at the Hatchet House next Wednesday, and Coach K will be there because I won't lie, boy, I get itchy this time of year. I'd like to be on that sideline coaching. So I gotta make that happen at some point. It's about time. And speaking of high school football playoffs, we got to go to the Indianapolis area because there's a lot of great teams up there. And if we're talking high school football around the state and we get into the Indianapolis area, we got to be talking to our man, Bill Somm. Bill Somm is on the show, ready to go. Bill, what's it look like in the Indianapolis area for football?
Good morning, Coach. It's a beautiful day in Indianapolis because we're going to play football. Having said that, we're going to define beautiful as a bit rainy and in the low 40s. So hopefully some things will improve as the day progresses, but it's going to be we think it's going to be dry for Friday night football. It'll be a little chilly. But you know what? At this point, I think everybody's happy to be there, so we'll take whatever the good Lord provides weather-wise.
Well, he always provides the best, that's for sure. Bill, are most of the teams left in the playoffs, when you look around your area, are they playing on turf fields or natural grass at this point?
Everyone is, to the best of my knowledge, everyone is playing on turf at this point. If there is a grass field, there's only one or two. But everyone's on turf, so I think it'll be an even playing field from that standpoint. You know, 5-10 years ago, I think the fields had a lot of impact on the game, and I think that fortunately with the ability to build those fields now and the cost and people invested the money, I think it's helped the kids, it's helped the game. You know, Indiana football, we've talked all year about how Indiana high school football is improving literally by the week, month, and year. Then the field conditions have a real part of that.
Yeah, our last guest, Mark Diehl, assistant AD alumni relations football program at IU, was just on it. If you caught any of that interview, he talked about how much the state of Indiana on the high school level has progressed from coaching to players to facilities. He just feels real confident about the type of players that this state is producing and going to continue to produce.
Yes, I heard Mark say that. He said he was very bullish on Indiana high school football. I agree with him, and you might remember way back in August we had this conversation, and I think the coaches are working as hard as they've ever worked. You know, I go to the National College Football Convention each January, and there are tons of Indiana high school coaches there, which is a compliment to the administration that allows them to go become better educated and be with their peers. Our high school football coaches in the state of Indiana are working very hard to improve, and I think you see the numbers on high school football teams in Indiana increasing, and I think the quality of play has matched both of those issues.
You bring up a good point, Bill, but before we get into the games, you bring up a good point. To our listeners out there, if you've ever coached or considered coaching or are coaching, I can tell you right now, one of the best ways to learn, and I know Bill just said it, you got to get out to the national conventions. You've got to get out into the state and local clinics, national clinics. You better not think you know everything about the game you're coaching. There isn't a clinic any clinic I went to, I picked up a wrinkle. I went to every clinic with the idea, even if there were sometimes I thought, well, man, I can get out there and do that. I picked up something, some little thing, the way you taught a drill, something to add to the drill, an offense, a defense, how you spoke to the kids, the way you prepared, some training, something from every clinic. That's how you become a good coach. You continue to be a good learner.
Well, that's exactly right. And as you know, the most important next word after coach is teacher. And as I think about the best teachers in school systems are coaches. And when we get out on the field, what we do is teach. And what we have to do to become a better teacher is become better educated ourselves. And there are clinics nationally, as you mentioned, and there are regionally. You know, even like Billy Peoples down at Southport, you know, as you know, he had just an unbelievable season. He hosts a clinic over at the KSC here in Indianapolis in January, and all the local coaches come, and he has the local college coaches, the IU coaches come up, and they just sit around and talk football and lecture and ask questions. And it's good moments for high school football players and their parents, and that's why I think we're seeing more and more kids recruited.
Yeah, it's so important for coaches, and the same can be said for players. You know, there's the tremendous thing that you have available to you. Sometimes it's a negative, but for the most part, tremendous is the YouTube videos, the teaching videos, watching great players go through drills. There's so much out there for the up-and-coming player as well as the up-and-coming or established coach, and I know I've rejoined the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association for some reason. I quit as a member, probably because I was no longer coaching, but I rejoined it because I want to know what's going on. I want to listen to coaches talk basketball. Any chance I get to continue to learn, be a sponge, and as you said, Bill, be a good teacher. And you know what, Bill? You know this as well as I do from all the time you spend in coaching. Players can be good teachers too, and some of the best teams I had had players who were there helping other players to become better. Because you know the old analogy, you're only as good as your weakest link. When you've got your players, your good players helping other players to get better, you become a pretty solid team.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think great. You're segueing into a whole conversation about leadership, and whether it's those seniors or juniors that are stepping up to teach the younger kids. I know a lot of teams in the playoffs, such as Cathedral, they bring up a number of their freshmen. Cathedral brought up 23 freshmen to go another 5 weeks of practice just to be around the seniors and learn the Cathedral way. And I know the other schools in the tournament do the same thing. And Cathedral also brings back during 2 days in August, they bring back alumni to do the same thing that you're mentioning. So you're exactly right. I think, you know, young people like to listen to and respect the folks that look like them. So I think it's important to bring back those past players and the seniors to step up and be great leaders.
Oh, your future depends on your legacy of your past, and you got to build on it. Coach, let's jump into the football games. One game's games that are not going on are in 6A, but a team that we thought might be able to run the table, Center Grove, ran into the continuing football legend of the George family last week.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I to be honest, is our listeners know that I've been talking about Center Grove all year, and I kind of have anointed them, and I guess it's a good reminder of why we still show up and play every Friday night. You know, Center Grove had an unbelievable season, but gosh, Warren Central is, you know, Warren Central's 10-3 now, and they have just battled. They were not a great football team at the beginning of the season. You know, they didn't even get their head coach on board until late spring, early summer. Obviously, he can coach. You know, he was in the state game last year as the head coach at Warren Central. Now he's there again at Warren Central. So you have Carmel versus Warren Central. And just a quick aside, as folks begin to make their Thanksgiving plans, with the six different divisions, Coach, we have on Friday 1, 3, and 5 play on Friday, and 2, 4, and 6 play on Saturday. So as folks are organizing their coming weekend, they can make their plans for Lucas Oil Stadium around that.
And we jump down and we look at the games that will be going on this weekend. Let me talk about one that has at least interest in this part of the state as well as the Indianapolis area, here in the state of Indiana, Brebeuf and Gibson Southern. I know what Gibson Southern is capable of. They've got a solid offense. They've shown the ability to come back and win games. They beat a good Brownstown Central team. They're headed up to face a 10-3, but a very well-tested and tough 10-3 Brebeuf team.
Well, that's right. Nick Hart's done a great job in his second year at Gibson Southern, and as you mentioned, they're 13-0. The deal with Brebeuf, and it's going to be interesting. Aaron Banks is their quarterback at Brebeuf. He's 6'4". He's thrown 224 passes this year. He's completed 129 for over 1,700 yards. He's the real deal. He's another one of those kids that has just really improved as the year went on. He was a little shaky at the beginning, but he's thrown for 14 touchdown passes, and he's run for 354 yards. He's also run for 9 touchdowns. So Aaron Banks, the quarterback, is not even the best player on the team, but brings a real dimension to Brebeuf's offense. And you know, their running back is a Division I kid who's been offered by Cincinnati and several other schools. So I think Gibson Southern is going to have their hands full, but it'll be, they have a long drive up. They've moved the game to Saturday, as you know. Brebeuf has a beautiful stadium. They're going to be playing on turf, and they play at 4 o'clock on Saturday. That's going to be a good one, but I think you probably are going to see Brebeuf prevail. You know, they beat Chittard earlier in the year. They played Ron Colley. They've been in some wars, so they may just be a little more battle tested.
Well, another game of interest in both Indianapolis and the southern part of the state. Paoli, 11-2, got a big win over Southridge, who got a huge win over Mater Dei, and that's the circle of the playoffs. It's been amazing in that 2A. To see a Mater Dei team go down to Southridge and then Paoli with a big win last week over Southridge. Coach Ballsmeyer's done a great job at Paoli. They go and they'll face Indianapolis Ritter, 11-2 as well. What can you tell us about this Ritter team?
Well, they're going to play over at Marin University, which again puts everybody on turf. It's a great facility, good stands for the fans. It's going to be a lot of fun. The deal with Ritter is their quarterback. I think, again, you know, Ritter has been in the playoffs for a number of years. They're also battle-tested, but I think you're going to have to see their quarterback. You're going to have to get through that quarterback for Bailey to have success. I think, again, Ritter's probably, you know, they've been pretty battle-tested. I think it's going to be a really, really, really good football game, but I think at the end of the day you're going to see Ritter probably prevail on that one also.
Well, I think that both Gibson Southern and Paoli will have their hands full. There's no doubt about it. And I don't want our listeners to think, well, why are you down on the Southern Indiana team? I'm not down on them. I'm just think you know, you look at competition, you look at Sagarin ratings, the power ratings, and you kind of get a feeling for some of these teams. You know, as we go up in Class 3A, we talked a little bit about Gibson Southern. Lafayette and Andrean will hook up in 4A. New Powell and Columbus East. And, Bill, we talked about Columbus East all year. Of course, I'm a Jasper native, and Jasper football is pretty solid every year. They went on to that regional round and faced Columbus East. And as you had been telling me all year, Columbus East was a load to handle, and boy, they were for the Jasper Wildcats.
Well, Columbus East is very, very good. You know they're averaging 52 points a game. The Olympians can really put the points on the board. You've already mentioned they're 13-0, but you always got to remember about Columbus East's schedule, just who have they played and are they battle-tested. But by golly, they can put points on the board. Columbus East is very good. New Pal, obviously, is 13-0. I'll tell you the difference might be. You know, you and I both have talked about Columbus East running back the whole year. New Pal's quarterback's a senior. His name's Blake Luker. He's completing 71% of his passes. He's passed for over 2,500 yards, 32 touchdowns, and out of all those passes, he only has 3 interceptions. And he also has rushed for 1,100 yards. So Columbus East better be able to play defense, because that quarterback is the real deal, and he brings dynamic strategies to that offense. And to go along with that quarterback, New Pal has a running back by the name of James Young, who has 1,200 yards. And he was hurt earlier in the year, but he's back full speed now. So that's going to be a very interesting game. New Pal's defense is playing really well, Coach. They beat Chittard 27-14, and actually one of the touchdowns of 14 for Chittard came off a fumble punt. So Columbus East better come ready to play, because I think New Pal is the real deal.
You know, Bill, in the past, we've always talked about a little bit of the athletic ability, the quickness, and one of the knocks you had on, and it wasn't a knock, it was just your perception, your feeling, that Columbus East, when they played, you know, Cathedral or some of the teams, didn't quite have the foot speed that they needed. Is this a better matchup for Columbus East, New Pal, for Columbus East against New Palestine as far as the speed, or is New Palestine, besides an outstanding quarterback, those numbers are, oh my God, they're gaudy. I mean, is this a New Pal team that has maybe the quickness edge as well?
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit closer athletically, to your point. Those are excellent points you make. I think, you know, as you know, Columbus East is very big. It's not as big as a difference between, I would say, Columbus East and Cathedral last year, but I think New Pal may be the better 22 football players as a team, not so much as individuals. But defense is playing well, and I'm not going to say that they're significantly quicker than Columbus East, but I can tell you that those 11 kids are playing together very well, and they have that defense humming right along. They even have a sophomore linebacker play last week who stepped in for an injured junior linebacker and just did a heck of a job. So I think it's going to be athletically, setting aside the tailback for Columbus East, setting aside the quarterback for New Pal, athletically I think you have a pretty close group of kids.
And then lastly, just a couple minutes left, Coach, give us an update on your thoughts. Indianapolis Cathedral, 8-5, they will host Terre Haute North, 10-2. Before you even say a word, I'm going to tell you, I think Cathedral's going to win. Give us the quick scoop.
Well, Terre Haute North, you know, obviously has played in the mix over the last couple of years. So, number one, they're not going to be intimidated. As I told a buddy of mine on the phone this morning, another dad, I'm glad they're driving an hour and a half instead of us. But having said that, they've driven here and played LC and LN, and they've driven here and played Center Grove and so on and so forth. They're a very good football team. They're very well coached. Their quarterback runs the offense well. But you know what, Cathedral, you know, we have Terry McLaren, who many of us believe is Mr. Football. It's going to be very difficult for them to stop McLaren. I'm sure McLaren will get the ball somewhere around 20 times tonight. You know, we have a great offensive line with two Division I kids on the offensive line, one AA type kids and Division I kids, and it's going to be a battle. I think it's our toughest opponent to date in the tournament. Certainly, Terre Haute North is not Trinity or St. X or Moeller, but it's going to be a battle. Our defense is playing as well as it has all season. And some of our seniors on defense, like Tron Eastep, are really stepping up and taking charge of our that side of the ball. So I think it's going to be a great football game. We're playing down at Tech High School, which is, frankly, in my opinion, one of the better venues in the state of Indiana for high school football. And it's going to be a good one. But I'm a little bit prejudiced, as you know, but I'm kind of thinking the Irish may end up on the top side of that one, too. Which would be a whole lot of fun next Friday night because you have Westville versus Cathedral, and I think there might be a couple seats filled up in Lucas Oil for that one.
Well, that'll be a lot of fun, and I hope you and Zach will have the opportunity. Of course, your son Zach plays for Cathedral. We'll have a chance to participate in that game, and good luck to the Cathedral Irish this weekend as well as to Terre Haute North. We have listeners in the Terre Haute area, but I think if Cathedral comes to play, it'll be a Cathedral game. Once again, Bill, thanks for being with us. Hope to talk to you next week.
Happy Thanksgiving to everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving to you. God bless. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, we've got the mailbag, some great questions. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar & Sons Toyota in Jasper. You know what happens when you sell a bunch of new Toyotas? You trade for hundreds of great pre-owned cars, trucks, vans, and sport utilities. Many are certified, have factory warranty remaining, fully inspected, and they're all priced to sell. Hurry in for the best selection. Ubelar & Sons Toyota, where customers send their friends for a great pre-owned vehicle since 1929.
How come you know so much about bowling?
Well, maybe this will help explain it to you.
Wow, that's really something. What's that made out of?
14 karat gold.
Really? Looks like rubber.
No, the ring, not the hand.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. You're talking to the coach.
It's not the Joe mailbag.
It's
the Coach K mailbag.
New York and New Jersey love Coach K. Go Hoosiers! Coach K speaks the truth! Woo!
Now here's Coach K and Joe with this week's Coach K's mailbag.
I'm sorry, Joe, I jumped in there right away. You're talking to the Coach K, Ken Schultheis. We got the mailbag. We got a bunch of great questions, Joe. Are we ready to hammer this away?
We're ready. You ready for the first one?
Well, I want to give a shout-out to Janet Schultheis and Beth Geltz over at Edward Jones here in the Evansville area. If you got money and you want to make more, give them a call. Let's go with the first one.
Okay. Both first two questions are from Josh in Bloomington. Start with a basketball question first. Seeing how Noah Vonleh has played so far, do you think he's one and done? Do you think any other non-seniors will leave for the NBA?
I'll tell you what. I like Noah Vonleh, and I don't know his personal situation, family situation, that type of thing. I think he's going to have to make a lot of improvement to go one and done. I think he's definitely a pro player, skill-wise, length. Look how long he is. I mean, Folks, don't just look how tall he is. If he stretches out those arms, look how long he is. I always would look at players even on the high school level. I remember a guy who played for Jasper before I coached. He helped as an assistant for a while. He's up north coaching now. Great guy, Scott Reese. Scott Reese had long arms. He just made it difficult. Noah Vonley's got long arms. He's got length. He's got quickness. He's got quick hops. I mean, when he jumps, it's quick. But I think he's got to improve a little bit with the ball. Remember earlier in the show I said he's got to be able to take a couple dribbles to the basket, not just with his back to the basket, but straight up, be able to make a move, take a guy from the elbow area. I think to really become the player he wants to be on the next level in that high draft pick, one and done might be a little bit quick. Two? Absolutely. Two and done, possibly, yeah.
Okay, second question, football related. When will they and why haven't they fired defensive coordinator Doug Mallory? The tough question, Coach.
Oh, that is a tough question. Wow. Who sent that question in?
Josh from Bloomington.
Josh from Bloomington. You know, Josh, I'll tell you what. I really think we have to look at the overall scheme. What kind of players have we brought in? What kind of injuries have we dealt with? I do think that if you're looking at the overall picture, you've got to point towards the defense, and you've got to say to Coach Mallory and his staff, guys, where's the upside here? How much longer can we go? Is it just the players? Is it the schemes? Is it what we're doing? And that's going to be a tough call for Coach Wilson. Believe me, we have seen over the years, both on the pro level, the college level, and even on the high school level, where head coaches, whether it comes from the top with pressure on them or whether they just feel like they have to make the move, will change out their leadership on one side of the ball, bring somebody else in, or change the direction to find out. I remember a couple decades back, when Coach Holtz was having a struggle at Notre Dame, and he literally took over the defense for a while as the head coach to get it where it needed to go for a short time. But we definitely have the question marks there, Josh. Whether Coach Mallory stays or goes, Coach Wilson's going to have to sit down and really look at it as this season ends up. But we still got a little time to see the defense improve.
Okay, I'm going to skip to a basketball question real quick. And a comment, then I'm going to give you a question. I want to remind all our listeners that on December 13th, Jasper will be celebrating the 100th anniversary of their first basketball game they ever played on December 13th, 1913, and that was against Jasper Academy, which they unfortunately lost. But the question I have is from Bots Magic. John Bodorf sends in questions every week, and this is a good one. Basketball season is in full swing, Coach. Jasper Hoops is officially 100 years old. What is your Jasper dream team? You can only have 10 players, two at each position.
Bots, you've always got the great questions. We love hearing from you, John Bodorf. I wish I could take all Bots's, but I can't. So there's been a lot of great players throughout Jasper's history, as there have been in a lot of high schools. I can go back into the 60s, not because I was aware of a lot of the players from the 60s, but my dad was here at Jasper coaching through the 60s and the 70s. Of course, I grew up and came back to coach. There's been a lot of great players, and I know that I'm going to miss some from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s, but I'm going to throw out names like Wayne Bailey. I'm going to throw out names like Mike Leagers, Mike Ballinger, who I played with. I'm going to throw out players like Scott Rowland, who I coached, Michael Lewis, who went on to play at IU, who I coached. Those are great players. Farouk Mojazinovic, an Indiana All-Star. I brought him in as a transfer student, exchange student that turned into a permanent stay here in the United States, and he was able to come to Jasper. And he started out not knowing hardly any basketball, and we worked diligently for 2 years. During the season, out of the season, he turned into an Indiana All-Star, played at U of E. There's Brad Bogro, just an outstanding talent. Rick Begley, he was behind some really good players, and he didn't get an opportunity to really shine till his senior year. You know, Slick Weber, who we've had on the show, was a solid player. Mick Steptonagle. I mean, I really can go on and on. And Botts, you threw me a little bit of a knuckleball. I'm trying to hit it here and there. I probably need a few more minutes, but I've thrown out some pretty good players. Scott Yarbrough was an outstanding player through his period, and I've missed a bunch of them, and I apologize for that. Joe, can you throw a couple other names out?
John Bodorf.
Well, of course, if I could have 10 of him, tell you what, we would never lack for hustle and pounding those boards, I can tell you that. The bot was
thinking
he gave everything he had every time out. And I apologize, and I know we'll have Slick on maybe next week, and maybe we'll spend a segment just talking a little bit about that 100 years. And you know, obviously there's a lot of great ones. Maybe we'll get my father, Coach Schulteis Sr., on as well, and we'll talk some about that. I want to remind our listeners at noon we go off live on Blog Talk, but we continue on. And you can listen to us on the podcast later on, and it's a good reason to join the podcast. Open up a cold one, whether it be a Coke or something else, and listen to us. Craig Greilich just jumped in. Jim Wenzel, outstanding athlete, good basketball player, outstanding athlete. Tom Nicholson, outstanding athlete, solid basketball player. There's so many more. My brother Jim was an outstanding player during his period with a team in the 70s. John Schulteis led the county in scoring a couple years. My younger brother played on a team with Fehrbach and Murder. They ended up losing in the sectional to a good Southridge team, but they were a great team. So really solid players. But we can talk a lot about that. Another question, Joe.
Okay, before my next question, I want to throw out one of my favorite players of the recent past here is a legacy of a guy you just mentioned, and that's Caleb Begley, who we'd also like to have on the show sometime. He's playing in his sophomore year, and we'd love to have him on sometime. Okay, this is from – I'm trying to figure out which one to ask first. Okay, I'll go ahead and order. This one's from Tony in Huntingburg. Who do you think are the top high school teams in southern Indiana, and what do you think about the ex-Bossy player going to prep school for his final year?
I don't like that Jaquan Lyle left and went to the prep school. I don't like it at all. I think he can get – as much basketball here in the state of Indiana. He wasn't going to get any better offer than he got to go to Louisville, and it didn't matter whether he went to a prep school or not. I think his preparation here at Bossy High School, especially growing up with your team, working with them that long, makes a big difference. As far as the top teams in the state, or in this part of the state, Bar Eve, of course, is going to be an exceptional team. Bossy, Memorial, Harrison, Evansville Harrison is going to be solid. Dubois should have a good team. Heritage Hills should have a very nice team. They lack some size, but they should be pretty solid. The 1A level, Class 1A in this area, is really got some good teams. Reveille is good. I said Bar Eve, Dubois, I think they're good. North Davies is going to have a decent team. Ligoti was, but they lost a key player, I believe. So that'll be tough. I got a question here from Gina from Dallas, Texas. And real quickly, Coach K, I met Gina a while back at a tailgate. She's from Dallas, and she loved talking hoops. What do you think about the Mavs' chances of advancing in the playoffs, and what is Mark Cuban waiting for to rebuild that team? Gina, great questions. The Mavs are old. And it's just how long they can hold up in a long, grueling NBA season. They've got some solid players whose best years are behind them. They haven't put much to go with Dirk Nowitzki in the final few years he's got. And I think they'll be competitive all the way through. They've got a great coach. I don't know what Mark Cuban's doing other than spending a lot of time on the Shark Tank. So, Gina, we appreciate it. Study hard up at IU and keep cheering for those Dallas Mavs.
We've got about 30 seconds before we go to podcast, but we've got three more questions, so let's continue on with them. From Craig Greilich, who's also already contributed, first of all, he wants to know, where were you when President Kennedy was shot? And secondly, now that the IU basketball has played 10 games under their belt, how do you think their record will be in the Big Ten? Give me a win-loss record. I believe there are 18 Big Ten games.
Oh, he's tough on me. I was about a year and 5 months when when President Kennedy was shot. But it's like growing up and knowing all those things. It's like you were there. Even though I don't remember, I remember everything from what I've learned from my parents, from growing up in history, teaching history, all the great documentaries. Just a glorious, fun, positive time until that shooting. But the legacy of youth and energy and potential stayed on. I remember more when Bobby Kennedy, his brother, was shot later on as a young guy. IU, I don't know. I really need to see them against obviously, Connecticut's going to be a good test for them. Their pre-Big Ten schedule is just not that good, but I see them finishing in the upper half of the Big Ten above 500.
Okay, we've got another IU question. Lots of interest in IU basketball this week. This one's from John J. Bird Lori out of Indy. Who does the coach think is the bigger beast for IU, Noah Vonley or Troy Williams?
I think Noah Vaughn, Jay Bird, Lori, John Lori, Jasper native, up in the Indianapolis area. I wish we'd got your question on when the show was live, but thanks for the question. I think Noah Vonley is the bigger beast right now. Right now. I love Williams. I love his upside. I think that Noah Vonley is the bigger beast because of his size and his length and how athletic he is. You look at Williams, he's got that same length in those arms. His game's just going to have to come along a little bit more because of the position he plays. He's not able to just stand underneath the basket and rebound like that. But that guy has some quickness, some speed, athletic ability, long arms, has an offensive game, is going to be good defensively. I think long-term, his upside potential is amazing. Keep these guys in Bloomington for 3 years, and we're looking at a Big Ten championship and a lot more.
Okay, well, I got one last question. This is also from Tony in Huntingburg. Will Evansville Harrison make a run at state this year, or will the pressure get to them again?
You know, the tough thing about Evansville Harrison is the class they're in. And I don't know, Tony, and it's a good observation. I watched them quite a bit last year. I don't know if it's the pressure as much as it's just they run into teams that are better. The good thing for Harrison is all the Duncans are a year older. The younger ones, Everett and Stanley, have grown a little bit. I am absolutely sure their game is going to expand. They need them to be more of an inside presence. Now, listen to what I'm saying. When I say an inside presence, I mean rebounding and defensively. Obviously, they need to be able to go down in the post and score. They both can do that. They both can shoot from the perimeter. But last year, I think they were a little young, and I don't think they understood, as they moved along in the tournament, the level of play and the talent and the toughness. You know, a lot of times, folks, it's not the talent as much as the toughness. I think sometimes some of my teams pulled the wool over the eyes of some other teams and maybe some of our fans. They thought we were more talented than we were. We were probably tougher than we were talented. And then once you run into the opposite, you start to struggle a little bit. And I think that this year the Duncans need to be tougher. They need to expand their game into the low post. If they can do that, they can move on to the tournament. I do not think at this point Harrison is a threat to win a state championship. I think Harrison could be a threat to get to the semi-state level. I don't know if they're a threat to win the state championship. And I think they're going the way they're going to move forward in the tournament is they got to have some guys who are board beaters. They're tough in the post, and they're going to defend and help these more talented guys than the Duncans out. You got to be tough to move on in the tournament. I don't care what you say. Talent's not enough.
Okay, that's a lot of great questions there, weren't there? A lot of, as you can see, a lot of interest picking up in basketball, both IU and in the Indiana High School. And, you know, we invite people to send in your questions. You can send them to info@CoachKandJoeShow.com. You can send them to me at 812-630-2449. And, Coach, what's your text number?
They can text me direct at 812-480-9449. Just think of the 1949 State Wildcat Basketball Championship and start with the opposite, 9449. And, Joe, you know, we had so many great things on the show, great guests, great questions, participation, and yet so much we didn't get to talk about. We didn't get to talk about the other teams in the Big Ten. We didn't get to talk about Kentucky and Louisville. Both have outstanding teams. We didn't get to talk about pro football. We didn't get to talk about Alabama and the college football scene and the BCS and Baylor, who's starting to really make a run, and how can Ohio State move up in the BCS? Can Florida State get knocked off? We didn't get to talk about any of that. Wow, 2 hours goes fast on the Coach K and Joe Show.
Yeah, it's in Indiana State knocking off Notre Dame.
Absolutely, and that was a big win. And as people refer to them, the trees uproot the Irish. Watch that team in Terre Haute and that 17-foot statue of Larry Legend. And, Joe, we have to get over to Terre Haute. We need to get our picture taken with that statue. And if we've got listeners picking up on the podcast in the Terre Haute area, go take a picture and Facebook or tweet that picture to the Coach K and Joe Show on Facebook and the Coach K and Joe Twitter. Would love it. So
yeah, you know, not only there, folks. Send us pictures from wherever you're at. Send us one at Assembly Hall. Send us some pictures. Let's see where the fans are and what they're interested in.
Yeah, we'll post them and we'll talk about them. And if you have the guts, put yourself. You know what we need, Joe? We need somebody up at one of the IU games to have a Coach K face. You know, the big face, the big heads. And of course, some people have said I've had a big head.
Page.
Put one of those big heads or whatever they call them of Coach K up there behind the basket.
Yeah. Get Paige, we have to put our intern, Paige Schulteis, in on that.
We should do that. We should. You know what she'd say? I'm not doing that, Dad. I'm not doing that. Maybe we can get one of our other listeners up there to do that. Joe, so I need
Josh
to...
Josh Ballmer.
I need to,
hey, we've got the ultimate IU fan. Remember last year he was on the show?
Yeah,
Josh Ballmer,
get him to do that, and we'll have him on the show again. That's
yeah.
What we ought to do. If you're just pulling in on the podcast, make sure that you send it out to other listeners. We had Mark Deal from IU, Elliot Bloom from Purdue, of course, Bill Somm, Indianapolis contributor. We had Chris Goodman talking SIAC and Evansville area football. Good luck to Gibson Southern, to Paoli. Good luck to the teams that open up over at Washington Hatchets and the Bar Even basketball. And again, our sincere... we just hope the people over in Washington and Kokomo and other areas hit by the tornadoes get everything back together again. And thank you to all the people around those communities that reached out to them and helped them. Joe, another great show.
Yes, it has been. And, you know,
and we're going to go.
Coach.
We're going to end this edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. We wish blessings for everybody. Keep the faith, treat people right, and give it your best. You've been listening to Coach K and Joe on the Coach K and Joe Show.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media.
Ubelar & Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today.
See you next week.